Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball time, turn on the fan. JD's coming on, he's a baseball man. I gotta get the scoop before I drive home from the kid from Queens calling Arlington home. Car pulls up, who can it be? A fresh El Camino, it's Thad Levine. He rolls down his window and he started to say, it's all about making that kick-ass trade. Cause the boys in the front office are always hard. Come talking that trash and they'll pull your card. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me skin, I ain't said spit.
The John Daniels Show is brought to you by Evan Williams Bourbon and BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Thanks, Kevin. Joining us now is John J.D. Daniels, the general manager of the Texas Rangers. And J.D., we were curious about this. I want to dive in and talk about the rainout on Saturday. We'd love it if you'd kind of take us behind the scenes and let us know what is the process like in terms of trying to figure out when it is, because we look at it, we're like, could it be as simple as, hey, we're not playing, let's just get two in tomorrow? How does that whole process work?
As far as whether or not we're going to play that night or when we're going to reschedule it for?
Yeah, like when you're going to reschedule it.
Got it. So it's primarily the home club decision with MLB, and then they certainly, and they kind of loop, we do too, but MLB kind of loops the visiting club in as well. They want to avoid two things, MLB does. They want to avoid anything being rescheduled into September if they can, and they want to avoid anything being scheduled for a team's last trip in. So if the team's not coming back, or if the team is like your options are really limited, they're going to push you to do it. Like they would push us to do a doubleheader, say Sunday. It is, you know, they don't want to get in a situation where you can't get it back in. So we have kind of internal discussions, look at the forecast the next couple of days, look at the schedule for the time coming up. We had the middle of June, that's here, the early June series coming up, and MLB was good with it. Our players were good with it. Oakland's players were good with it. So everyone was on the same page.
You know, I didn't actually realize how curious I was about this until Ben asked the question. But when is the drop-dead moment where you guys go, we ain't playing baseball today, let's make plans to reschedule?
That's always a tough one because you've got, you know, your fans are at the parks. You know, some people kind of toughed it out. We're sitting there in the rain. You hate that for nothing. You're looking at the schedule, at the forecast, talking to the meteorologist. And, you know, we're of the mindset where if we're not going to play, we want to decide as quickly as possible so that our fans can get out of the rain and we have a day game the next day and our players can get home and sleep. You know, so we had decided we weren't going to start. We didn't want to start, you know, much past 8:30. We probably would have started at 9 if we were sure we were going to get it in. And I think with the forecast, like the meteorologists felt like they couldn't tell if there was truly that window. Plus, the field had taken on so much rain that the infield and the outfield were actually pretty good, but the warning track was, you know, was really muddy, and we felt like it would have been a health risk.
So I want to talk about Elvis. He's just been incredible. He's now hitting .414. He's out of this world. He's hitting bombs. He's you know, getting extra base hits all over the place. He stole home. He's just playing out of his mind right now. He's really settled into this groove where this is kind of who he is. Now, I'm not saying he's a .400 hitter, but when he's healthy, he is kind of everything you could have ever dreamed that he would be, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, you really go back to the second half, I think 2016, and really since that point, second half of that year, all 2017, and then last year before he got hurt, the first few weeks, he was killing it. I think the arm injury last year when he broke his arm really set him back, and I don't think he was at full strength for much of the year, but he's kind of picked up right now where he's left off, and he's always been sure-handed, he's always, you know, had good instincts, been a smart player, you know, great game clock, the plus arm, all those things. But it's kind of that 2016 season where he put put it together at the plate. And I think we always expected that he would. We thought there was more power in there. When you get up on Elvis, Elvis is a big man. You know, he's 6 foot, almost 6'1", 205, 210. He's strong. And, you know, it probably took him a year or two longer to put it together. When we signed into that contract, there was a little bit of speculation on our part that, you know, we felt that that was coming. And it took him probably a year or two longer than we thought. But it's come on, and outside of getting hit by that pitch last year, he's been really good now for going on his fourth season.
All right, well, then let's talk about his friend over there at second base, because when I was reading about the injury, it sounded like the type of injury me and Ben might suffer. Did he really get hurt stretching?
Yeah, it's just one of those bizarre ones. I mean, he does the same stretches every day. And, you know, he does like a stretching routine, and there's an active warm-up routine. He does a little bit in the weight room and then out in the field, and he hits. And so, I mean, it's, you know, just kind of a freak deal. He was literally stretching. He felt a bit of a pop on the outside of his knee and tweaked a ligament over there. I think it's one of those deals where, you know, he can run fine straight ahead, but it's one of the ligaments on the side of your knee that kind of provides some stability and a kind of a start and stop, or if he had to plant and change direction, you know, he just puts himself at risk. So I think if it was September or the postseason or something like that, he could probably put a brace on and try to play through it. But so early in the season, you know, we really dissuaded him from doing that and just want him to, well, let's get this thing right.
So you guys say goodbye to Chris Davis and say hello to Mike Trout, two absolute Ranger killers. I was looking at Chris Davis's numbers, 28 home runs against you guys since the start of 2016, the most by any player versus any team in that stretch. But it's not like, hey, see you later, because Mike Trout's here. So I know it's a team sport, but these two guys just seem to really, really have your number.
Yeah, I mean, well, Trout's, you know, maybe the best player in, you know, 20, 30 years, maybe longer than that. And, you know, you kind of come to expect that. And Davis is one of the elite power hitters, but he seems to have it especially out for us. I mean, the ball he hit first inning yesterday, had a double off the top of the right field wall. Like, I mean, you know, when he hit it, you kind of assumed it was going to go far. When most people would hit it, you would have thought that ball either would have sliced foul. And he just has this uncanny ability to go the other way and keep these balls fair. And they just stay on a line. Unbelievable strength. And I know yesterday when we were up one going into the ninth, with Clerk coming in, Mike Daly leaned over and goes, "Hey, look, you got Chapman 4 and Davis 5. Hopefully, we don't have to see either of them, but definitely not Davis." And of course, you know, there he was on deck, and you know, tremendous battle with Clerk and Chapman, great at bat, and he punched him out because we definitely didn't want to see Davis up there.
Did you guys pass on him in a draft at some point? I mean, did you bump into him somewhere? Did you insult him somehow? I mean, what does he have out for the Rangers?
Yeah, he's got us down. I don't know. He's some kind of strong off field. And I remember when he was available from Milwaukee, and obviously, you know, we didn't draft him, and then probably had an opportunity to get him from Milwaukee in a trade a few years back and kicked myself for not acting on that one.
I want to ask you about Leclerc just from the standpoint that you just brought him up there, but he had those two bad outings, and obviously you guys signed him long-term and he's young and you believe in him and all those sorts of things, but I am curious what kind of feelings you have when there is someone who does have like a severe dip based on what you'd normally expect and it's right after you sign him. Does that, what kind of emotions do you have during something like that?
Well, it's almost, I mean, literally almost everybody we've signed internally has had that. You know, Rugi struggled that next season. He ended up getting sent down and then kind of figured it back out. And, I don't think Leclerc's anywhere close to that. He just had a bad couple of days.
Right.
You know, we talked to Oscar Marine, our bullpen coach, and talked to Josh Frazier, our bullpen catcher, and how was he warming up? And they said, fine. You know, they said, no, he was locked in. He was hitting his spots. He was calm. He prepared the same way he always does, and you just chalk it up to, you know, he's allowed to have a bad day, you know, and fortunately the second one didn't cost the game. You know, he had 4 or 5 days off before the first one. Could that have played into it? I don't know. You know, maybe not, but you know, he's been, you know, really one of the most dominant relievers since the start of last year, and my expectations, he'll pick right up.
Oh, how about the when they make the 30 for 30 on Danny Santana? what are you gonna say about this? I mean, how about that? A two-run pinch-hit triple ties the game and then scores the winning run and an unlikely hero. Just another one of the things that makes baseball such a great sport.
So Woody and I were laughing about this because when we sent him down, he's one of the last cuts at the end of camp. He had a great camp, and he's a great guy. Like, really, like, interesting personality, really humble, really easy to talk to. And you know, he played all over the field, switch hit, did a lot of things in spring training. And so we sent him down, and you know, he had a right to be pissed. He, you know, we were disappointed at least. He had a good showing, and big smile on his face. He goes, "Hey, man, don't worry. I get it. You know, I get it. I'll be ready." And Woody's, "Oh, that's so refreshing. Thank you, man. Appreciate it." He goes, "No, I'm serious. Like, I will be ready." And that was the last thing he said. And then he comes up and first swing of the bat, he hits a triple to, you know, basically win the game. So I guess, you know, he honored what he said. He was ready. It was pretty cool.
Very cool. And you guys had a nice little tribute on, I believe that was on Friday, when 41 was out there on the mound. Who was behind all that?
You know, I don't know one person in particular who came up with the concept, but you know, Joe Januszewski here, and then Chuck Morgan and Travis Dillon, a number of folks on the marketing side and branding side, you know, have been real big this off season, just talking about different ways that we can reach out to not just, you know, Ranger folks and fans, but throughout the DFW community. I think the more that, you know, all four teams can do that, the better. And that stuff's awesome when, you know, we're in the postseason, we have a little, you know, good luck stuff from the Mavs and Cowboys and Stars and stuff and vice versa. So pretty cool to be able to honor, you know, an all-time great there. And I got a text like the night before, "Hey, we're going to do this. Are you guys good with it?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's awesome."
Man, kudos to you guys for that. I agree. I love that stuff. I love it. There's Rangers, Cowboys, Mavericks, Stars, all of you guys doing stuff together, the athletes at different games and whatnot. I think it's fantastic. One last thing. Santana, I heard Woody talking about this. He went with Santana, and Joey Gallo was unavailable, like he was under the weather. Is he good to go today?
Yeah, he's in there. I think he's playing left field today. He got hit hard by some sort of bug. And you know, sometimes, you know, the times where we don't publicly say that, just because, you know, I think the game may have played out differently if Oakland knew he wasn't available. You know, they had Buckter warming up, and they didn't. I don't think they brought.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.